Thank you, Brother Raley, getting us back to the cross before we preach. One of my favorite hymns is the old rugged cross. I want to thank the Schimmels for being here tonight. They heard I was preaching. They came in from Cottondale. And Brother Barnes, Brother Darren, it's good to see you. He's going to church out, Brother Ellis's church now, aren't you, out in Roanoke. And then it's good to see Brother Jay Mayfield. They don't go to church anywhere, but they're just here. And so it's always good to see them. And turn to 2 Timothy, if you would, and honor my good friend, Timothy Cannenberg. I told him I was preaching out of Timothy in honor of him tonight. So if y'all don't know who Timothy Cannenberg is, stand up, Timothy Cannenberg. He's a member of my class. He's in my Sunday school class. You're not going to stand up? See, there he is right there. He's a real person. If you didn't know that, that's Timothy Cannenberg. He's got a name that's in the Bible. And we're going to preach out of 2 Timothy. I think you're about a third or fourth Timothy. I don't know. I'm sure there's... Is there any other Timothys in here? Timothy? Oh, you're Tim. I don't call you Timothy. You're Tim. That's like Thomas, man. I'm like Thomas. It's Tom. Timmy, yes. Timmy. That's my boy. Amen. Hey, wasn't it good to see the preacher this morning? That blessed my heart, didn't it? Just to have him in the service. And I believe he brought the Lord with him. I tell you what, some of you didn't see him, but Brother Todd, yeah, I know you did. Boy, I tell you what, I thought he was going to direct the invitation. He's pointing at hands, being raised over there, making sure Brother Todd saw that one over there and that one over there. I tell you what, He's something else. Tell you what, we had something special, folks. And if you haven't realized that, I hope you will eventually. But he's a very special man. And thank God for him. I'm glad he could be here. And I was looking for him to see if he'd slip in tonight. I called him last night, and he said he was had everything laid out, and he was getting ready to go and say, I'm going to try to come to the service. And he was talking about, well, I don't know if I'm going to... I get there, I may just turn around, it may be bad. Because he's had a couple of incidences where he's gone out to do something, and he's got about halfway there, got in the middle of it, and he's, honey, take me home. And so he was real, and I said, well, preacher, I said, won't you just slip up into the balcony and sit? So, no, you know, nobody just surprised if you have to slip out. He caught that pretty quick. He wasn't, he kind of giggled, oh, Tom. And so, Thomas. All right, let's get this thing going. All right, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. If you'd stand for the reading of God's word, and we're going to read a couple of verses, but we are going to read all the verses eventually in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 and we're going to read verses 13. The Bible says this in verse number 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." I believe we're living in the last days. I believe there's a lot of Bible prophecy. I believe things are happening with Israel. I think things are happening in the Middle East. I think things are happening in nature. I think things are happening to America. I think America is, I hate to say it, but I think she's on her way down. I think she might be at the point where she's not giving out the light that she's supposed to. And we've elected a Congress, and we've elected a president that I think is not going to take us towards God and towards the Bible, but away. And so we need to be in prayer for our country, but you know what? We need to be ready. We're going to be in a spiritual battle, and I believe perilous times are coming. It would be nice if Jesus would deliver us from those, and before it gets too bad, just kind of say, whoop, we're out of here. And but that may not happen. And I want you to see here in verse 13, the Bible says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for just a good service this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the message Brother Todd brought. Lord, God, I feel that stuff in my heart. And Lord, I thank you that he preached on it. And Lord, just stirred us up about what's going on. And Lord, give us hope. And Lord, our hope is not in government. Our hope is not in the Democrats or the Republicans. Lord, it's in you. And Lord, our hope is your return. And Lord, we pray as John prayed, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And Lord, I ask that you'd bless now the message. I pray that you'd give me, Lord, the words to say. And help me, Lord, not to disgrace you or do anything that would displease you. And Lord, we do thank you for Brother Smith being here this morning. And Lord, what an encouragement he was to us. And I pray, God, that you bless him and bless his recovery. And Lord, bless us now. Lord, speak to hearts. I pray we'd have revival tonight. We can have it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the topic of this chapter is in verse number 1, and it's the last days. In this chapter, we see Paul the prophet. We see in the first chapter, we see Paul the preacher. In the second, we see Paul the pattern. And in the third chapter, we see Paul the prophet. And he gives us what the last days are going to be like. And then in chapter 4, we see Paul the prisoner. But we're going to look at Paul the prophet. And the theme of the chapter is not found right there in the first verse, but it's found in verse number 13. And it says this, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." The theme of this chapter is deception. And the theme of the last days, and I believe we're living in the last days, is all about deception. And you know the thing about deception is, you don't know you're being deceived. If it's done right, Brother Rayleigh, you won't even know it's happening. And listen, I believe we're living in a day that, you know what, the Bible has been shut. Light, the dark hour, Brother Todd, it's here for America. I believe that America was a shining light on a hill. I don't know if we're going to be. I hope we can be. I'm going to work and pray towards that end that God might bring revival. And hey, maybe this thing is just we're just in a valley. But you know what? It's coming to the end. And our only hope is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of family problems today. You say, what's it about? Deception. You say, why is divorce rampant? Deception. Why is homosexuality on the... Deception. They're deceived. Why are people lost? They're deceived. They're blinded by the devil. And why do we have church problems? Deception. People just can't see. The Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And listen, I love the Word of God. And if it wasn't for the Bible, I wouldn't be where I am today. And I wouldn't see the things that I see today. And listen, I wouldn't know how to love my wife. I wouldn't know how to love my children. I wouldn't know how to be a good church member. I wouldn't care about anybody but myself if it wasn't for the Word of God. And listen, it's the foundation. And it kills me for people to attack it and say things. It really does. Listen, I've spent my life trying to teach kids that this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And folks, if we're going to get, it's not going to be some lesson from a preacher that's going to make us or change us. It's going to be this book right here. This King James Bible that I hold in my hand, the Word of God. It's not, listen, it doesn't contain the Word of God. It doesn't, listen, it is the Word of God. And it can change and will change your life. You got a problem today? The Word of God will help you. It's all right here. But you know what our problem is? We get deceived. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever noticed how lions hunt? You know, the king of beasts and all that kind of stuff. But if you watch these National Geographic series, these lions, you know what they do? They travel in, what are they called, prides? Boy, isn't that something. Devil's liking a lion, and their family is called a pride, or they travel in prides. But you know what they do? They make themselves known, and one sneaks around, and what they do is they get the attention of the herd. And listen, they're hoping that the young will freeze. When that herd moves, there's going to be one that's going to freeze at the sight and be distracted. And then there's going to be one that's going to catch him, or maybe two. But they hunt in a group. And listen, they use deception. They try to distract. It's isolate and destroy. That's exactly what they do. And listen, that's exactly what the devil does. And you know what? They don't necessarily get the older in the herd. They always get the younger in the herd. The ones that get distracted are not the old ones. It's the young ones that get distracted. And listen, the devil, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for our young people. He's looking for our first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders. He's looking for those that, you know what, are just reaching the age of accountability to deceive so they won't get saved. And hey, if they do get saved, then deceive them about the Word of God, deceive them about church, and deceive them about family and home. Just wants to wreck their life. But see, the devil does the same thing. He tries to distract us and isolate us and then destroy us. Now, Paul warns Timothy here in this chapter about the sorry condition of our society. And listen, the church is going to be right in the middle of that. And the Bible says in the last days that there's going to be a falling away of the church. It's going to apostatize. Now what that means is they did believe something and now they don't. I have watched Christians in my lifetime believe something and then not believe it. You say, what is that? That's apostasy. Churches do that. Preachers do that. Hey, you know what? All of a sudden they get tired of fighting. They get, so you know what they do? They drop their standards. They go, well, it's not worth the fight. That's why churches lose church members. That's why family members lose children. Hey, we quit fighting. And Paul's warning Timothy, said, listen, society is getting worse, and listen, the church is going to fall into apostasy. And listen, in the book of Revelation, there's seven churches there that are represented. And of those seven churches, see, I believe that those are seven local churches. I believe that, listen, those churches were given characteristics, but I also believe this prophetically, that they represent the seven periods of church history. And there's one church at the very end before Jesus comes, or the seventh church, it's that Laodicean church. And you've heard people say that we live in a Laodicean church age. Laodicea means rights of the people. I mean, listen, I could list animal rights, women's rights, children's rights, you know, the trees got rights, whales got rights. I mean, listen, it's the rights of everybody. Everybody's got a right to an education. Everybody's got a right to this. And everybody's got a right to... And that's the way society is today. We're living in that Laodicean church time. Now, some teach that it's going to get better before Jesus comes back. That, listen, there's going to be a church on every corner. That, hey, there's going to be revival. And listen, Jesus is going to come and woo, it's just going to be a wonderful thing. Now, the Bible paints a very different picture. A very different picture of the last days. It's a picture of deception. Listen, that's what Paul says. He says, listen, it's going to be deception. And the only people that are not going to be deceived are going to be the people that cling to the Word of God. Hey, in the tribulation, we're not going to be here during that time. But you know what? That is going to be a time of deception. And you know the only folks that are not going to be deceived are the ones that have a Bible. You know who they are? The Jews. Ever thought about that? Listen, you know why that everybody's going to worship that guy that takes the mark? Or worships the Antichrist and they're going to take a mark and they're going to do... Listen, I'll tell you why. Because they're selfish and deceived. Because the Bible says if they don't have that mark, they can't buy or sell. Hey, ladies, you can't buy groceries for your kids. You'll starve if you don't take the mark. See, the Bible says in whom that God is their belly. That's America. And most Americans, listen, if they don't get saved, they're not going to make it through the tribulation. They're going to eat it up hook, line, and sinker. And so it's deception. They're being deceived. And listen, that's how deception works. And the devil works that way. And listen, the only ones that are not going to fall for that are going to be Orthodox Jews that believe the Word of God. And when it says, do not mark your body. Hey, in America, tattoos are rampant. Hey, in Europe, they're rampant. Hey, it's just getting ready. Because, and the government's already got now where they can track you. And hey, they're putting little things under the skin in dogs to find dogs. And now they're thinking about putting it in children so when they run off, they can find them. It's all here, folks. Oh, well, Brother Davis, it's just a coincidence. Oh, is it? Now, tonight I want to speak on the theme of the last days, which is deception. And I want to look, first of all, at deceptions or the causes of deception. And they're found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2 through 9. Let's look at them together. First of all, the first cause of deception is selfish behavior. Let's look at verse number 2 through 4 together. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. I'd say that's selfish. Covetous. Want other people's stuff. Hey, I want what's on TV. I want what that guy's got. Selfish. I want that kid's tennis shoes. I'll kill him for it. Covetous. Boasters. I'm number one. Selfish. Proud. Selfish. Blasphemers, shake their fist at God. There is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Selfish. You say, what do you mean self? But you know what I'm talking? Listen, you don't believe there's a God. You don't believe that somebody made you. You can't look at your body. You can't look at what's around you. Hey, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day into day, utter a speech. You say, what's it saying? There is a God. There is a God. There is a God. If you can't see that, you know what? You're so self-centered. You're selfish. Blasphemer. In fact, the Bible says a blasphemer is going to be stoned. Proud. Blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Uh-oh. You say, why am I disobedient to my parents? You're selfish. Self-centered. Won't listen to your mom and dad. In the last days, they'll be disobedient to parents. Unthankful. This is the breeding ground here for homosexuality. You say, God made certain people straight and some gay. No, He didn't. I tell you what made a person gay: unthankfulness. Romans chapter 1. When they didn't thank him as God. To say that they have a church and they worship God is crazy. The Bible specifically says, listen, the breeding ground for homosexuality is unthankfulness. It's selfish behavior. It's just selfish. Hey, listen, think about society. If you're a weird, if you're unnatural, I don't want to offend anybody, but listen, I guess I do. If you're queer, that word queer means that you're not normal. Normal is a man and a woman. That's normal. That's the way God created it. I know that hurts, but that's the way God created it. And listen, if you're not, it's because you don't recognize God. But listen, even if our society would be destroyed if we did not procreate. God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the what? Earth. Well, God made me this way. Oh, He did made a commandment like that? You can't reproduce. Hey, lady with a lady, you can't reproduce. Hey, man, can't even hardly say it. You can't reproduce. You're selfish. Well, we'll adopt. Please. Selfish behavior. Unthankful, unholy. Selfish. Don't want to obey the commandments of God. Without natural affection. You say, well, you just got on homosexuality. No, I'm talking about a mother throwing her kid in the dumpster. That's selfish. That's unnatural behavior. Hey, it's unnatural for parents not to love their children. It's unnatural. It just is. And it's unnatural behavior. Truce breakers. Hey, listen, you know what? If you sign up for a credit card and use it, you ought to pay it off. You made a truce. You said, hey, I'm going to do this. You've got a contract. Truce breakers. False accusers. Lying about people. Selfish. Incontinent. Can't control themselves. You know why? Because they're selfish. Fierce. Throwing temper tantrums like little babies. Little babies are self-centered, see? Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Disloyal. Why? Selfish. Don't want to bow to authority. Don't want to submit to authority. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Arrogant. Why? Selfish. Lovers of pleasure. Why? Because it's all about me. You say, why are people being deceived today? They're selfish. They're selfish. Selfish behavior. And the Bible lists these things right here. If you're self-centered tonight, you're ripe for deception. If all you think about is you, you're ripe for deception. I mean, if it's all about you and all about your ministry and all about your family and all about you, you're ripe for deception. I mean, listen, the devil's got your number. Not only that, look at verse number 5. It says this. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This is religion without redemption. Religion without redemption. We got a lot of that today. Hey, it looks religion, but they're not saved. Hey, they have churches. They have Bibles, but they're not saved. How many of you knocked doors? How many of you ever knocked a door and found somebody that went to church that wasn't saved? Somebody found me. I was in church when I got saved. I was religious and lost. See, here's what they teach. They teach on, listen, here's what the devil does. The devil, he creates a problem, then he creates a false ministry to take care of it. See, everything now is about relationships. Hey, you know why? Because the family's falling apart. Why? Because they've forsaken the Bible. The families are falling apart because they forsake the Bible. So now everything's relationship oriented. And hey, everything now has to be relevant. I mean, I hear this stuff and I want to puke. But you know what? All that stuff, and you hear these TV preachers, listen, they're talking about this. And listen, you know what? They're saying some good things. But it's what they don't say. Hey, can I tell you this? You can go to all the classes. You can listen. You can do the 1, 2, 3s, ABCs. This is how you're supposed to do it. Get it from the Bible. But if you're not born again, it will never work. I don't care how much religion you have. Hey, listen. Listen, if you're not born of the Spirit of God, you're not going to understand the Word of God. You're not going to understand the principles. And listen, Satan has just got you like a puppet. Religion without redemption. See, the power thereof is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says this. Paul said this, for I am not ashamed of what? For it is, what's that, the gospel, is the power of God unto what? Salvation to everyone that believeth. Hey, listen, the Bible says they have a form of godliness, but deny what? The power thereof. You don't hear a lot of gospel preaching. Hey, you hear a lot about Jesus and healing. You hear a lot about Jesus in the home. But you don't hear a lot about Jesus saving wretched sinners from hell. You know why? Because it's deception. It's religion without redemption. You say, well, all you Baptists do is talk about the gospel. Let me see. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What should we major on?
Amen.
Tell me. Amen. The gospel. Why? Because if a man's not saved, it doesn't care. Hey, listen, he can have a great family. Hey, you know what? He can be relevant in society. Hey, he can be a good citizen. But what's all that matter if he dies and goes to hell? And folks, we're getting away from that. And you know what? We're losing our identity. We're losing our sovereignty as the people of God. Because we're falling for this stuff, this religion without redemption. Let me make the gospel relevant for today. You know what you are? You're a sinner. And you know what? You've disobeyed a holy God. And listen, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will die and go to hell. And can I tell you this? I love you. I will tell you that straight in your eyeball because I care about your soul. Well, you just have such a nasty spirit about it. No, I don't. I just, listen, I've got enough gumption and love in my heart to say what God wants me to say to touch your heart. Listen, this going through the back door to get people the gospel. Away with it, folks. It's deception. Because you know what? Nobody ever gets to the back door and gets in to do it. Hey, just knock on the front door, just ask the question, and let God do the work. Listen, the Bible says He just wants to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Hey, I'm just foolish enough to think, you know what, if you ask somebody if they're saved and they're not, you can tell them how they can be saved. Now, some will get offended, but some won't. Religion without redemption. Look at verse number 6. And see, there's a bunch that promotes that. It's a business. It's a business. And listen, lost people eat it up. See, because see, there's a void in their life and they want religion and they want to be associated with it. But listen, they don't want to admit sin and they don't want to admit fault and they want to feel good. Listen, I want a church I'm comfortable in. See, if the preacher didn't wear a tie, I'd feel more comfortable. Well, gee whiz, let me take my tie off. Bless your heart. I'll tell you what you need. You need the truth. You need the truth of God's Word. And listen, if the truth won't convert you, then listen, me not wearing a tie, me standing up here in shorts and a tank top's not going to convert you if you won't listen to the Bible. Stop it. All right, look at number 6. Now, there's a bunch that does that. Now, look at number 6. For of this sort, they are which creep into houses. You say, how are they getting into these houses? Through TV and the internet. You say, how are they getting in the houses? They're getting in right there through that line you plugged in and said, hey, come on in. And lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. You say, what's the next point? Foolish females. You say, what's the cause of deception? Well, there's a bunch in our previous point. The heads of this religious but lost society, you know what their target is? Women. Women. Hey, women read their books. Women fill their churches. And they drag their husbands where they go, wherever they go. And listen, let me ask you this. You say, why is that? Why do they target these females? These silly women. Who are they? Well, I'll tell you what. Who was deceived in the garden? Was it Adam or Eve? Ooh. So if the devil's going to go, if he's going to start deceiving in the last days, where's he going to come in, ladies? Silly women. Silly women. That'll buy this stuff and eat this stuff. You know why they're silly women? You know why they're buying this stuff? Because manhood's down here. Because see, our boys can't get mad anymore. Our boys can't fight and throw rocks anymore and be defenders and play guns. They're effeminate. So what do the ladies got to do? Hey, they look to these guys on TV that, listen, they got their Hollywood looks and they got their chiseled bodies and, hey, they got the modern clothes. It looks good. And you know what they do? They teach on the home and they teach on the family. Because, see, that's what you desire. See, that's what you want, ladies. I just wish my husband was this. I just wish he'd care about the kids like Pastor so-and-so on the internet. You're deceived. You say, I've never heard that verse that way before. Hey, it's because it's happening today. Hey, 50 years ago, you may never saw that. But today, it's here. Hey, when the internet wasn't here, hey, listen, that verse right there, hey, I wouldn't have thought twice, what in the world is that? But folks, it's here. Ladies, you're a target. Why? Because you're relationship-oriented. That's what the preaching is today. It's relationship-oriented. My relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children. And listen, I'm not downplaying that at all. I'm just saying it's being used as a deception tool. Because listen, the Word of God's not being... Hey, the Word of God has been trampled. And listen, you know what a man needs? A man needs right and wrong. Listen, you tell me what's right, I'll defend it. I'll fight for it. But listen, you get this stuff now, the Bible, we don't know which Bible it is. But I tell you what, on July 5th, 1983, I got saved. Hearing a King James Bible preached. And you know what? That whole week, the man taught that the King James Bible was the Word of God. Before I left that camp, I believed that Bible right there was the very Word of God. And you know what? Someone gave me something, Brother Sam, that was right. And now I'm going to be a man and defend it. I'm going to stand up for it in my home. I'm going to stand up for it in my church. Come on, guys, let's be men. Amen. See, the problem is you've been suckered that these Bibles, all these Bibles, and listen, that is such a weeny excuse. Well, I just don't know which Bible it is. I'm telling you which Bible it is. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God will tell you what Bible it is. I said this the other day, listen, about balance of love and hatred. Hey, the reason our boys are sissies is because we've taught them not to hate. We've taught them not to get mad. We've taught them not to raise their voices, mama. We've taught them against nature. And this stuff that's coming in, it's getting worse and worse and worse. You say, what is it? Foolish women. Foolish females. You say, ladies, listen, you're a target. This bunch, they're seducing you. But I sure like the way they talk. Boy, I sure wish my husband was this way, and I wish my children would obey like his children would. You better be careful, lady, because you're a target. See, because what they use is they use women's feelings and emotions to propagate their humanistic philosophies. This megachurch stuff is effeminate. I'll say it again. This megachurch stuff is effeminate. It makes our boys effeminate. It makes our men effeminate because they have no final authority. None whatsoever. We need some men to stand up and say this is the Word of God in your home. We need some men to say this is the Word of God in our church. And take their ministry serious. And listen, realize that we're fighting a good fight. We're fighting, listen, hey man, you know what? Let's rearm ourselves. Let's say, hey, we've been watching these things, and hey, my wife set me down and said, hey, listen to this. This is good. But the guy didn't use a King James Bible, has no final authority. And you know what? For a man, it does nothing, ladies. I'm just telling you. It does nothing. Hey, all those principles and stuff, hey, if it's not God's Word, it doesn't mean a thing to me. Hey, Christianity's But you know why Christianity means something to me? Because I have a Bible that's pure. I have a Bible that's preserved. I have a Bible that's inspired by God. And listen, if He inspired it when He first wrote it, He preserved the inspiration when He preserved it. It's God-breathed. Hey, did God run out of breath when He copied the King James Bible? I don't think He did. All right, here we go. A man needs that. I'm just telling you, ladies, we need something to fight for. And you know what the devil has done? He has diluted everything to the point where men just look around and go, what in the world are we fighting for? I'll tell you what, men, we're fighting for this. We're fighting for our God and our country, our God first. We're fighting for our families. We're fighting for our country. And listen, we're buying this stuff hook, line, and sinker. And some of you right now, you're going to leave this service and you're going to get on the internet and you're going to get on your whatever and you're going to hook up with one of these rascals because it sounds good. And God help you if you're a man and watches that stuff. Hey, listen, look at verse 7. Not only that, look at verse 7. It says, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Science without the Bible. Science without the Bible. You know what learning is? It's science. It's science. Science in the Bible. Hey, the Bible is science. The Bible is knowledge. The Bible is history. But you know what we got? Brother Todd stomped on it a good bit today, and I appreciated that. Hey, listen, evolution is a theory. It's not science. Hey, this Echo Green stuff that your kids are coming home with in public school that are saying, oh, global warming and save the whales and all this kind of stuff. How about save a soul from hell? Save this, save that, save your plastic, save this. Hey, listen, let's try saving a soul, man. Let's try to keep somebody out of hell. And I know that bothers some of you. Some of you intellectual bunch. But you know what? That's what it's all about. And you know, I know that sounds simple, but the Bible's simple. The commission is very simple. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them. Preach to every creature. But see, we've got all these movements, and I said this, we got all these causes that we go through. Hey, Paul warns Timothy in his first epistle. Look at chapter 6, verse 20. Here's the warning. He said, be careful about science falsely so called. That is in your King James Bible. That's what's happening today. It's science that's false. And we, listen, we're forming policies around it. Hey, our education system has thrown God out because the religion is now evolution. There is no God. And hey, we come from monkeys. And we just sit back and tolerate it. You know why, men? Because you don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. You got nothing to fight for. And so your wife's doing everything she can, and she's trying as hard as she can to do something because you got nothing to fight for. I'm telling you, men, tonight we got something to fight for. It's the Word of God. And listen, the causes of deception, science without the Bible. Hey, the Bible will tell us all that stuff. Listen, it's junk. It's junk. And then notice this, counterfeit the truth. Look at verses 8 and 9. It says, Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Now I'm not going to read the rest of that. You can read the rest of it, but for the sake of time. But you say, who in the world are these guys right here? Well, you've got to turn to Exodus chapter number 7 and 8. You know what they were? They were magicians who falsified everything, or not everything, but some of the miracles that Moses did. Hey, Moses threw his rod down and became a snake. You know what these guys did? Threw a rod down and became a snake. You know why they did that? To deceive Pharaoh. Ah, man, this God's nothing. Counterfeit. So, what's another cause of deception? Counterfeiting the truth. See, today's counterfeit. It's counterfeit music. Oh, it's Christian contemporary. Counterfeit churches. all over the place. You say, how do you know? I read my Bible. You say, how do you know the music's wrong? I read my Bible. Hey, counterfeit preachers. God help me, but you know what my wife and I did the other night? We went and I went and all this stuff because it's going through our college, this Facebook and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, okay, honey, let's sit down and see what this stuff's all about. So we sit down, we punch in a few things. And lo and behold, it lists you know, different pictures and this, that, and who's following who and how many people are following you and all that kind of stuff. It's very, I guess it could work on your ego. I guess if you had, man, I got 77 people following me. Woo. Man, I got 23,552 people following me. I'd get on that thing and there'd be nobody following me. But I saw some of our people that had some of these contemporary people as they were following. So I said, honey, click on these things and let's look and see what this is all about. Clicked on it. Guy gets up, man. I mean, listen, he's a nice looking fella. I mean, he's pleasant to look at. He really is. Every hair's in place. I mean, listen, articulate, very good communicator. See, the Bible says in the last days there'll be teachers, communicators, can communicate. Very pleasing. Wasn't wearing a tie. And, you don't have to be, I mean, listen, missionaries don't wear ties and preach. I mean, you know, had a necklace on right here. Looked just, I mean, you know, but listen, I couldn't, to tell you the truth, Brother Sam Ward, I couldn't, the guy was saying everything's right. But I tell you what, it was just very cozy and very, very going, until he started reading the Bible. It was like, whoa, wait a minute. Come on. Now listen, I used to play. There used to be a time when you could play out in the yard. I mean, not even in the yard. You could play, Brother Combs, in the neighborhood, couldn't you? And you know what? When it was time to come in, your mom, what did she do? She stood out on the porch and she yelled. And you could recognize your mom's voice. Hey, boys, it's time to come in. And I knew my mom's voice. Can I tell you something? I heard that guy start reading the scripture, and you know what? I didn't hear my mother's voice. You say, what are you talking about? I said, I couldn't hear my mother's voice. See, the Bible says being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God. You know what this book is? This book is my mother. You say, this book begot me. Yes, it did. This book right here, God's holy Word. This book right here. You say, where'd you get that, Lester Roloff? I love it. And you know what? You don't mess with a boy's mother. Hey, fellas, we've been messed with. They're messing with our mom. Hey, those of you that are saved, can I talk to you men tonight? They're messing with our mom. And because we're not doing anything, our wives are being pulled in by this stuff. And then our wives are now influencing us. And now we say that, you know what? God can't do it this way anymore. God can't save people like He did in times past. We've got to do this now and this now and this now. And we've got to... No, 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 no. We just need some men to stand up and say this is the Word of God. Hey, fellas, this is your mother. Don't mess with my mother. Well, I just don't think you ought to make a big scene about it. Mess with my mom and I'm going to make a scene. Mess with my wife and I'm going to make a scene. Mess with my son and I'll back away and let you beat the devil out of him. Okay. But they counterfeit. And then not only that, we got counterfeit Bibles. You say, well, hey, you got your King James Bible. Hey, look over here. I got a New American Standard. I've got an NIV. Hey, you know who they are? Janice and Jan. They're magicians. That's all they are. Just poof, here's one. Poof, here's one. Poof, here's one. And you say, what's going on? Deception. Deception.
Amen.
And here we are. We just sit in our churches. Amen. When are we getting out? Not only that, the crime of deception. Look at verses 10 through 12. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of life and purpose of faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, affliction, which came upon me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know what the crime of deception is? It empowers the ungodly. I'm not going to belabor this point because, listen, the man did a wonderful job this morning putting that down on the plate for us. Just as wonderful as you could ever do it and lay it out there for us. You know what? Evil is in power. They are. Listen, deception is... Listen, the only way the devil can have any authority and any power over your life is deception. That's it. Well, man, the devil's got a hold of me. I'll tell you why he's got a hold of it. You're deceived. That's the only power he has over you. And listen, when you break that deception, you can be set free, and you know what? You can live a normal Christian, healthy Christian life. But I will tell you this, the only power the devil has is deception. That's it. And so when deception, when we live in the last, we're living in the last days, you know who's in power? The devil's crowd's in power. Hey, when deception, but you know what? When light comes on the scene, they have to move out of the way. Hey, and some of them get converted. That's what revival is. But you know what? Somebody's got to be man enough, fellas, to stand up and say, you know what? I got a Bible. I have the Word of God, and here it is. And listen, you know what? I'll sit down at your coffee table and show you how to be saved. And hey, I'll talk to you wherever you want to talk to. Hey, listen, whatever. I got something. Brother Todd, I'm not a great witness. I don't claim to be. But I tell you what, I got something that I got something.
Amen.
And I want other people to have it.
Amen.
Because see, the Spirit of God that came into me said, you know what, you need to go down and do likewise. Hey, the old boy that led you to Christ, you know what you need to do? You need to go lead somebody else to Christ.
Amen.
There's just that spirit of unselfishness and hey, that listen, you've got to do something. But listen, when the crime of deception is it empowers the ungodly. And then, listen to this, it persecutes the godly. Verse 12, the Bible says, yea, all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Brother Todd was talking about promises. Let me balance out these sweet promises with this. Here's a promise. If you will live for God, if you will stand for this book, you're going to get it. Yeah. You're going to get it. Coming after you. Hey, listen. They may take everything you got. They might even kill you. That's a promise. If you'll listen, you're going to suffer some form of persecution. Hey, teenager, you live for God, you're going to get it. Hey, there's going to be a crowd that's going to make sure that you know what you're not comfortable. That listen, you know what? That they're going to try to make you question what you believe. But see, the Bible says if you live godly, there will be. But you know what? I also have a problem. You know what? If you'll back up just a page in chapter 2, let me read something here. Gee, let's study our Bibles. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Hey, you know what? The Bible says if you'll endure that persecution, there's a crown waiting for you. Hey, there's a rank in the millennium. God's going to set you over. Hey, that dude that persecuted you, he's going to work for you. Hey, that bunch, hey, that group that doesn't love Jesus Christ, hey, you know what? They're going to be working for us. You say right now, yes, they're beating us up right now, but listen, they're going to have to listen to us. They're going to have to bow to our Savior and say, He's Lord. Suffer it to be for now. Because there is a time coming. Listen, persecution. Now, lastly, you say, Brother Davis, can you give us some relief here? I mean, listen, everything's been, all right, I will. The cure for deception. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13 through 17. Turn back over there if you would. It says, but the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You say, what's the cure for deception? Realize things are going to get worse before they get better. That's what it says. It says that they will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Things are not going to get better. Here's what I'm telling you to do. Throw your positive mental attitude away about mankind and about the world. Because it's no good. Now listen, our hope is Jesus. See, I'm not trying to belittle. I'm part of mankind. We're corrupt. And if left to ourselves, we're going to bring our Father shame, the one who created us. But you know what? When He saved me, He put His Holy Spirit in me. He sealed me. He said, you're mine. And listen, He gave me His Word. And listen, He's now, if I'll separate myself from the world, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, He'll become a father unto me. He'll teach me. He'll care for me. But listen, folks, throw away that positive mental attitude that things are going to get better, they're going to get worse. You say, what are we doing? I'm telling you tonight, let's prepare for war. Because we are living in an age of deception. It's spiritual deception. Listen, I don't care how many guns you got. I don't care how much ammunition you got. This thing's going off the way God said it's going to go off. Well, I'm going to take some of them with me. It's not a physical battle. Some of you guys are stockpiling armament. Why don't you get on your knees and pray and read your Bible and see if you can do... Maybe you might win somebody to God that'll hold this thing from going under. But you're not going to shoot somebody and this thing's going to be fixed. When I say, you see, listen, some are going to mistake. Prepare for what, Brother David, we got to be militant. We got to get out there and beat up people and shoot them. No, we don't. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Put your guns away. Because listen, if you're trusting that, you're not trusting God. Now, I'm not saying be stupid. Listen, we live in a society. I've got a gun. I'm going to protect my family. And listen, if you care, but listen, you think you're going to stockpile and you're going to be in your house and hey, when this thing comes down, that you're going to defend. It ain't going to happen. It's going to get bad. Realize that things will get worse before they get better. If you'll do that, things will be a whole lot easier. You won't have near the stress. Now, did you hear what I said? Things will get better, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. Hey, men, have you... Listen, preacher, it may get a little bit worse before it gets better. Before his knees get better. Oh, I wish everything would just be better. No, but that's not the way God made it. God made that, you know what? He's going to have to go through some pain for that thing to get better. Not only that, resolve to live by the Bible, by Bible truth. Look at verses. Look at verses 14 and 15. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then it says in verse 15, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You say, resolve to live by Bible truth. The simple truth you learned from godly parents. Not a hypocritical professor will hold up the Bible and say it's the Word of God to get a paycheck in the church and then correct it in the classroom. No. No. I'm looking for somebody. Austin, come here. Would you stand up? I'm embarrassed, Austin. Let me ask you something. What did your parents teach you the Bible was? The what? You know what? Somebody's going to try to teach you it's not. But you know what? When Paul told Timothy to continue in and to have resolve about Bible truth, you know what he said? He said, go back to your mom and daddy what they taught you. See, that's how simple it is. See, this Bible is the Word of God. Well, bless God, you don't understand that pastors got to know the Greek and they got to know the Hebrew and they got to know this. And hey, it's just like a doctor and you've got to have this and you got to have that. And hey, you better be able to explain it to the people. No. Paul said, just like mom and daddy taught it to you.
Amen.
Not the way the professor taught it to you. But how mama taught it to you. How did mama teach it to you? Orion, how'd your dad, what's your daddy tell you about this book? What is it? What is it? Is it the Word of God? Hey, that's what Paul told Timothy. He said, listen, hey, buddy, when you go back, he said, the things that you learn, go all the way back to what mom and dad taught you. Hey, what grandma taught you. You know what they taught him? That the Scriptures were the Word of God. Hey, those simple truths. From a child. Hey, you know what Jesus said your faith had to be like? Hey, we adults, you know what we are? We're just a bunch of fat heads that think, you know what? And you know what? God's sitting laughing at us. He really is. It's the children that know what's going on. And mom and dad are just like, we're just wigged out. We don't know this and we don't know that and we don't know this. Hey, Timothy, calm down. Just go back to what mom and dad taught you. The Bible's the Word of God. He didn't tell Timothy to go back to his college classes, and what did they tell you? He said, go back to what your godly mother and your godly grandmother. Hey, you know what R.B. Reed taught me? He taught me the Bible was the Word of God. You know what Marie Reed taught me? The Bible was the Word of God. I think I'll just stick with that. I think I'm in good company. You can take your scholarship, and you know what it is? It's called deception. Hey, what mom and dad taught us is right. Hey, what we're teaching our children? Well, we just teach our children the Bible's the Word of God until they can start to understand, you know, the textual problems and the things that are wrong in the world. See, men, that's what we got to defend against. That's why we need men in our homes. That's why we need to be on our knees. That's why we need to be out soul winning. That's why we need, listen, that's why this church ought to be an important place to us. Because we have the Word of God. Hey, we ought to have some resolve to live by Bible truth. The truth that mom and dad taught us. We ought to reverence the Bible as God's inspired Word. Verse 16, look at it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. I think we talked about that, didn't we, last Sunday night? Mature, thoroughly balanced, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You say, what's the cure for deception? Hey, realize things are not going to get better, they're going to get worse before they get better. Hey, resolve to live by Bible truth that mom and dad taught you. Hey, just the simple things. You say, oh, we teach the kiddies in Sunday school, and they, listen, those truths that they learn in Sunday school are the very truths that we need to pass on and pass on and pass on. Remember, the Bible is profitable for our perfection. 16 and 17. Where are we tonight? I believe we're living in deception. But we don't have to. I don't have to live in it. But if I don't live in it, I'm going to be persecuted. I won't fit in. Hey, some of y'all need to decide I'm not going to fit in. Hey, some of you, you know what? Hey, some of you, it'd do good to, you know what? I believe the internet can be a business tool, but why don't you just use it as a business tool and leave it alone all the other time? Hey, it is good. I mean, it is profit for something, but I'll tell you what, it is just taking over. Wireless everything. I mean, people's attention are... Listen, I thought Walkman were the devil because kids walk around and you can't talk to them because they got earphones in their ear. Now they got their heads down doing this. All the time. Now, the times are not getting better, but we can become better people if we'll follow the Word of God. If we'll follow the... Hey, things are getting dark. And I believe they are. They're going to get... It's darkest before the dawn. And it's going to get dark. But if we follow the Bible, it has everything we need to fight the devil's deception. Everything. Everything we need. Now, here's the thing. Here's what's going to happen. The piano's fixing to play. Some of you have been duped. And you're not, you know what? You're not going to have enough gumption to come to an altar and say, I've been duped. Because see, the devil doesn't want you to do that. See, he doesn't want you to humble yourself. See, if you stay in your pride, you're going to continue in your sin. And it will eventually destroy you. It will eventually destroy your family. It will eventually, it'll destroy churches. It'll, listen, it's going to mess everything up. And fellas, I wish some of you men would make it. I wish tonight you'd say, this is my mother. And bless God, you're not going to mess with it. And hey, mama, hey, you got a new husband because I got something to fight for now. This is the Word of God. And you know what? I'm going to study this thing and I'm going to know it from cover to cover. And listen, I'm going to raise my family with this. I don't need those seminars. I need this. I need the teaching. I need the balance of the Word of God. And ladies, some of you are going to have to swallow your pride and say, I've been duped. I've been sucked in by all this mess. And say, you know what? I need to get back to the Word of God. Get back. Take my place. Is it going to happen? I don't know. I can speak for myself. This book's my mother. And I got something to fight for. And I got something to raise my family with. I got something to love my church with. I got something that's going to help me with this sin nature that I have. Right here. Got it? Right here. And I'm not going to let the devil deceive me. Not going to do it. I hope you'll make that commitment tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand as the musicians come. If God's spoken to your heart, why don't you come? Why don't you commit yourself to Christ tonight?